The thing you have to start with is that, because as I'm saying with this disclaimer and so on, I'm not responsible for the halacha, for the psak, or for the lumdus involved, but we have to understand that there's a problem. That's how we have to start the situation. That doesn't mean for shteitzach that everything goes after that the way you want, but there is a problem. The afroshes chala is a major problem, meaning that it's a chiyuv to take it. Like if it's manazet, but lemaisa is a chiyuv to take chala from a Yiddish-owned bakery, and there is a problem. And the problem is in any bakery. Because remember, you know, at home, a woman bakes challah at home. This is no big deal. She makes her dough, it rises, she takes off a piece, makes the bracha, takes off a piece. There's no issue. It's no worse than any other kashrus issue that somebody has in their home. You have an issue, you deal with it, and you take care with it. Take care of it. A bakery is not like that. A bakery has numerous doughs every single day, and there's numerous people that are responsible for the dough, along the according to the production line. Now, who is going to take the challah, and who is responsible to take the challah? That is a major issue, and it's a major problem. Because someone has to remember at one point to take the dough, and someone has to know that it was done. So that's one issue. Who is going to take care of it, and who's responsible for it? Another issue is, and here we're going to get to even what we'll call nice from Hamish bakeries, but bakeries traditionally start baking in the middle of the night. Let's say any challah somebody buys today, there's a good chance it was baked at least, that could be 3, 4 in the morning, they started baking whatever bakery you're buying from. Who was there at 3, 4 in the morning to take challah from the dough when they made those doughs? So at one time, I assume when the bakeries were small, the Mestalmi can assume that a Frum Yid was there and the Frum Yid took the challah. We'll assume that. Today, for sure, you cannot assume that. Today, you have low-paid workers that are in the bakery. They're not Yidim at all. A Frum Yid, for sure not. But you can assume they're not Yidim Bechlal. It's going in the Puerto Ricans, whoever's there. And who is going to take challah? Even if the Puerto Rican took the challah, we all know it's not going to help. They cannot take challah. So that's by our small Yiddish bakery. If you have a large company which is owned by Yid, the owner for sure, who says the Yid is even a Frum Yid, for states of the owner. But whoever he is, but the owner for sure is not on the production floor taking challah every time. So what is happening to the, how can you who's taking challah from these doughs? That is the question.
The Mashgiach's job, the responsibility, whoever the Mashgiach is, this is part of his responsibility.
Okay, good question.
You know, if anybody works with the OU, he may have to travel, and I don't want to travel, but that's my job. So this is my job, coming 3, 4 in the morning.
Okay, excellent. So it's a good question. There's two problems with that. That we have to understand that in most bakeries, in almost all bakeries, there's no Mashgiach present. We'll start with the OU. OU, the bakeries do not have Shochet Tamidis. So the Mashgiach is not there. And even the Hamisher bakeries, the Rav Amach, whoever's name is on the bag or on the box, he's not there. Does he have a representative there? From what I understand, there is no representative there the whole time. The same kind of firm owner, whatever it is, they are not, there's nobody there. Now, one second, we'll get this. I'm not saying now they didn't take challah. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there is an issue. All I'm saying is that there's an issue that has to be dealt with, and that someone has to have a seamless slave on. I'm not saying nobody takes the challah. But this I will say, but not on this on the Hamisher bakeries, but this I was told years ago, and I didn't understand until I started working here more. Somebody told me, years ago, Rabbi Schwab Zechayin of Bracha told this person that when you buy a box of matzahs the whole year, and I'm afraid of a box of matzahs, take challah. If you know what's going on, he says, you take challah. This I can tell you, that today Lamoshel Manashevitz matzahs, and whatever brands they make for it today besides Manashevitz, that they have, it seems like they have a triple system there. One is going to be our system we're going to discuss. It seems like they have a triple system to make sure that challah is taken. Okay, so we'll see. But I'm saying, I'm just trying to show that this is not a new problem. This is an issue that people understood. This is an issue that you have to deal with. Now, because of this issue, everybody has to come up with their own eitzes. What are you going to do to ensure that challah is taken over here? And they do, the small Hamisher bakeries, they have their systems. They have their systems set up, or at least the ones that have a Heshkocha that cares about that, that's worried about it, they have a system set up how they make sure that it's going to happen, that the challah will be taken. Sometimes, okay, I don't want to get into the different things, but you have, I think there's even some place where they let a goy take, and a goy takes a bigger piece and puts it on the side, and then somebody's mafresh challah from that piece that the goy takes, and each dole measure takes a piece, and they can count, they know how many doughs they make each time, so they count by the number of balls they have on the side, don't know exactly how many doughs are taken, whatever, each one, but the issue, the point is that everybody has to come up with a system. So now, the fact that we are not afenart, that the OU Mashgiach is not there, so we have to have a system that we can ensure that challah will be taken. So that's what we have to discuss, how this is how we set this up. Okay, let's go straight to the system, then we'll go to some Zaytik issues, to the other issues later on. As a hakdama, I just want to say, the system that I'm going to explain sounds very, very, I can even say it's called the Dover Zar. It sounds like, it sounds weird, it sounds shalaika halacha, but if somebody will look at the halacha, even just by learning the Mishnah, as we've been getting to the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that it's a very, in halacha, it's a very partial system. Does that mean there's no mafakim on it whatsoever? Somebody did write, the Choshev HaPaisek did write one something about it. I don't know if it was handled or not, I don't know. But then he wrote the system that he does with the Ashkocha that he's involved with. And he has his own problems with his system. He had a different system. What they did there was, he was saying something about a goy had a chelek of every dough, and somehow he did it in a way that became, somehow that they were mafkir the chi of challah because they sold something to a goy, whatever it was. And he himself admitted he has problems. He said, I like this sheet, that sheet. He had his own problems with that. So in other words, everybody has the issue and is trying to deal with it the way they could. There was somebody that came to a Pesach that I know, and right away here is such a thing that the OU system is terrible, there's no challah, it doesn't work, and so on. It's not like halacha. It came out, someone who doesn't know, and Amoritz, who's a known tumler, printed the issue that the system, that the OU has a system that like halacha, and someone over the place, and I said, calm down, it's okay. Now, what we do is very simple. And we're right in the process now of getting it set up for the new, with the new flour that's coming onto market right now.
This is a new system that you just put in place?
No, this system that I know of, it's in place, I would say at least 8 to 10 years, at least, maybe more, I don't know. But that I know of, it's at least 8 to 10 years that it's in place already. We do is like this. So now, as we're saying, right now is the time when the wheat that was planted after last year's winter wheat, meaning winter of 05, winter of 05 was planted in, let's say, I don't know where they planted, September, October, November, whatever it is of 05, that wheat was harvested now in the summer of 06.
It's still Yashin.
Oh, that's not Yashin then. Oh, yeah, it will be Yashin. Yeah, it is Yashin because that was in the ground before Pesach. Yeah, that's all Yashin. All our matzahs of this year, whatever matzahs you eat, they're all getting from that crop. That's the crop. This year's matzahs are all coming from that crop, from that winter wheat crop. But I was once at one of the hand bakeries, so when the whole thing with the Yashan started, so I asked the Balabas, the Chayin of Brachet, I said to him, what do you do with Yashan? How do you get it? He says, we have no problem. We only use winter wheat. It's a better wheat, and that's the only one we use, so we have no problem with Yashan. So I said to him, what do you care if it's a better wheat? He said, but we care about it because if it's a better wheat, it's easy for the women, for the radlers. It's a much easier process. So that for us, it's a big milah. But it's only winter wheat. So matzahs never have a problem with the Yashan on it. Our matzahs. So what we do is like this. As we said, so they harvested this summer, beginning of the middle of summer, they harvested the wheat that was planted in the beginning of the winter, 05-06 winter. Now, we go, Manischewitz is an OU company. We go to Manischewitz. Manischewitz now started baking matzahs for Pesach. Tisha B'Av time is when they start, right after Tisha is when they start baking matzahs for the new year, for next year Pesach. So we go to Manischewitz and we tell them like this. We want you to make a run, and as I just said, that all Manischewitz's matzahs have challah, triple systems, make sure challah is taken from them. But we tell them, please make for us a run of matzahs that you will not take challah from. Because one run has to be made for us that is not going to have any challah taken from it. So in other words, these matzahs today are tevel for challah. And we have stickers that we put on the box and it says on the box that the Tevel Matzahs. That's exactly what they are.
And then Shabbos today is 100% Jewish owned?
That's a very good question. That's an excellent question. It's right, for sure it is. Possibly even 100%. I spoke about it once, by Elephant. I forgot what he was telling me exactly. Right, it's for sure. If it's 100%, could be he holds it's 100% even. I'm not sure. I can't answer that. But it's been discussed. So the issue was brought up. Excuse me,
so
what?
It's my holding company now.
Correct. Yeah. But you have a holding company, you have to know what that means, though. Yeah. That's all tax issues. That's all that is. You have to know exactly what it is. But I have spoken to her by Elephant about it, and he says he says he knows who it is. So we asked them to please bake these matzahs for us at a Tevel Matzahs. We take these matzahs, and then we send them to every company that is Jewish owned of ours, and we put those matzahs in the mixing room of that company. We tell them the Mashgiach does it. The Mashgiach has a box of matzahs, he puts it in the mixing room, and he opens the box of matzahs. And then he has a nusach. If you ever think I give a printout, you should be given handouts over here. You see page Z32. That explains exactly what the Mashgiach does. But the Mashgiach takes this matzah, these boxes, then he says the nusach that we have over here to say. And then each morning, the RCs then have to say a similar nusach every morning. And it goes as follows. And by the way, it's like I used to. Today I come out with my Maida Ani, comes this nusach that we have to say over here.
Sorry, I missed. You said that each run the Mashgiach says that?
No, when he puts it down the first time, beginning of the year. When he gets his new matzahs and he puts it down. And then he says this nusach, and then every day the RC of that company has to say a nusach also. And what we're doing
is
that.
So the RC of the company
The RC is here. The company can be anywhere in the United States, and we're saying the nusach. We're saying the nusach, right. I say for a place down in Florida.
He
takes one box of matzah. And I wonder how many boxes. We'll see in a minute how we work that, how many boxes he needs. We take the box of matzah. We put it in the mixing room. And the reason, not of Manischewitz, no, of the bakery. Oh, of the bakery that is OU certified. The Jewish owned OU certified bakery. We put it there. And then he opens the box, and it's in the mixing room that Shri Ben Amukav, which Rabbi Shechter would like, that you mamish next to the mixer, but he holds it's lalocha, to keep a box of matzahs next to the mixer, all you're ensuring is that it's going to be thrown out pretty soon, that it's going to get lost or thrown out, something's going to happen to it. But he wants a minimum mukav. Others hold that you can even put it into the refrigerator, into the freezer, you can keep it in the freezer, and it's still become a mukav, since it's in the company, it's in the area. So we try to, we don't want to go that right, we keep it in the...
why can't they put it just for half a second next to them, touching the mixer?
Because nobody's there. Nobody's there. If somebody would be there, you're right, but nobody's there.
Doesn't have to be in the mixing above?
Well, that's what we're saying. See, he wants it touching the mixer, at least maybe what's touching do. Okay, touching maybe gives it at least some minamukav, at least that's called mukav maybe. That'll be a taich of mukav now. Mm-hmm. That's as close as you can get. Mm-hmm. I'm saying others say even the refrigerator is good enough. If she is good, if she's not good, because what other places do is, instead of taking matzah, what they will do is, they'll take, let's say you have a rye bread bakery. So they'll take a rye bread, and they'll put the rye bread in the freezer, keep the dough, put it in the freezer, and with our system of matzahs, they'll do with this rye bread that's in the freezer. And as long as it's in the freezer, it's not going to spoil. A rye bread will last how long? Before it gets spoiled? A week, 2 weeks, it can last. How long can a rye bread last? That it's going to, here, they're going to, so instead of doing that, they take the rye bread, put it in the freezer, and then it can last for months, and then, it can still be edible. So what we do is, so we're taking this, but again, you'll see they're using the same system we're using. Just instead of having matzahs, they're using rye bread that's still tevel. So what we do is as follows. So we have this box of matzah now in the mixing room, and that box is open. And what we say is that for every single dough that is going to be made today in this plant, then 1/5 a gram of matzah on the matzah in that box should become challah on each dough that's being made. We'll get to that. Good. Please ask me later on. We'll talk about that. No, good. Ask me later on. Good. No, forget it. It's good. So what we're saying is then what we're doing is the system is saying, and that's what the nusach that we say in the morning is, that 1/5 gram of matzah in the tevel matzah should become challah on each dough that is going to be baked in this bakery today, or until the next time this nusach is going, until the next time this nusach will be said. It could be a few weeks even, correct.
The step is to share 1/5
of the day. Oh, okay, we'll get to that, good. The Kahid Yibras asked that you only do it till the next time he said. So the next time he said, so they really want us to make a bracha on this. But I have a question, should I ever get an answer on how can you make a bracha on this when you said this should be good until the next time you say this nusach? Now that means, who says that now because I decided this morning to say the nusach, who says that is mavata what I just did enough that now I'm a chuyiv in a bracha? Maybe I shouldn't say the nusach anymore and I don't need a bracha. So I didn't get it.
Saying you only, the afrasha should last till.
So good, so let it last another day and I don't make a bracha today.
You could have. Huh? Oh, you saying that?
Yeah. Why should I do it? Right. I said the nusach yesterday. Right. This morning I said the nusach again. Why should I say the nusach again and make a brocha? Yesterday's nusach is still good.
So, and why do they ever need to say the thing runs out?
It could be like you. You're right. Like that, exactly. Maybe you should never have to say it. Right. Once you said it once, maybe you don't have to. I don't know. If you don't have to, so I don't know. I don't make a brocha. No, we didn't do anything wrong.
No, but
I say the nusach, you didn't do anything wrong.
The whole policy of going again.
Well, you have to do it at least once. Once for sure, you have to do it. Why have to do it every day? I don't know. Let's make sure that it happens. Maybe. Pardon me.
What happens when all these? Oh,
once a good. Okay, very good. Excellent. Good. We'll get to that. Very good. Okay, let's start. Yes. Every time they make a new dough, it's a new chiyuv challah. Yeah, every single dough has a new chiyuv challah on it. Now, just one hora. I'll show you a practical way to show that it's not as funny as it sounds. You're saying on every dough I'm going to make, this should be challah. How can you make challah on something which is coming up? You look at halacha. Halacha says a case like this: a normal case in any kitchen, in any home kitchen. Someone's baking challah. The woman is baking challah in the house. Now what does she do? She rolls out the dough. The dough is made and so on. It's mafresh challah, makes the bracha, mafresh challah, fine and good. Then you cut the dough up, and then you start rolling it on the board, whatever you roll it on. But she's afraid that it's going to stick. So what does she do? She takes flour and puts the flour on the board to make sure that it doesn't stick and it should roll easier. Now what happened to that dough? I mean, to that flour? The flour didn't have any fresh challah on it. There's no fresh challah on that dough. The fresh challah was only what was in the mixing bowl. Now, what happened to the dough on the baking pan, on the flour on the baking pan? How did that have a brush as challah?
Oh, sure.
That's part of the dough?
What? Yes, it becomes part of the dough, sure. Once it's rolled out, it definitely becomes part of the dough. So it says in halacha that when you make challah, then you have to have that in mind also.
Is it such a thing?
Because it's going to come. It's going to come. Whatever's going to come is still you could make today of what's going to be part of the chiyuv.
But at least you had a pre-existing dough, and it's just adding. It's not like there's nothing here.
You're right. But you see, if you look in the way it says there, you'll see it's not so pushy. No, I'm just saying. You look at it, you see it's not so pushy. Anyhow, okay. So now, this is what we do. Now, we have a few issues now to discuss in this system. One issue, where did you get this 1/5 of a gram from? So 1/5 of a gram, we used to say 1 gram. However, it was just this happened about 2 or 3 years ago. They started talking about there was a bakery that made a lot of doughs. It was going to be you needed too many matzahs. So it came out, what they wanted was, the place just wanted, they wanted something which you say is kadena tila. They wanted enough that you could say you need afrosha. Afrosha means you have to be able to hold something and take it off. So they made a cheshbon, there'd be all kinds of charts here, figuring out exactly how big of a gram is, and this. And they came out that they think 1/5 of a gram, you're still safe, that you could say you're still being mafresh something which is today in a tila. They felt that they're comfortable that they still have afrosha on something. There's no shear. Khalid was said there's no shear.
But wouldn't you need a microscope for 1/5 of a gram?
No.
It's big enough that.
Oh, we don't know. I don't know if I have the papers on anywhere. But no. This great David Cohn, who just left here, he's the one who worked it out, and he had all his charts and his papers. He showed up big of the gram. A 1/5 of a gram is not that
like
small.
It's
not
that small. Half a quarter of an inch diameter. I mean, an eighth of an inch diameter.
I'd say, I don't remember. I'd say closer to a quarter of an inch. Now, what?
If he says it once a day, yeah. Even if he says 1 gram a day, he'll never finish out the grams of a pound.
No, one second. Oh, so now we do like this. Okay, now we do like this. Now, I'm putting your hand out over here. You will see a page which is sent out. We did this, let's say, in June. We sent out a notice here to all our C's with boxes over here with the number, name of company, number, box of Tevel Matzahs. A sheet like this.
It's right on the back.
Same page. Okay. Now, what we do is, if you read it, this goes out to all the RCs of the companies. What we want them to do is, they have to call up their companies and find out how many doughs that company makes every day or every week. It has to be exact. It'll be an average day or an average week. And then what we do is, you multiply that, we figure out how many doughs there are a year.
We're not exact.
You round off to the higher number, obviously, these type of things. Now, what we do is, here, this paper that you have here is still the old one, and then we divide that. There's 454 grams in a pound of matzah, in a pound box of matzah. So then we divide the number of those by 454. Today it's 454 times 5, because we're doing 50 grams. And that is the number of... So now we know the number of grams, the fifth of grams that you have in one box of matzah. Now, once we know how many doughs we have a year in this company, then we divide that, we'll know now how many boxes of matzahs you need. So somebody asked, why don't you ever run out? There it is, because we're giving the company enough that for the year they should not run out. We're making the thing. If the company expands, we have that. I just had that with my company. We knew they expanded, so we sent them more matzahs in the middle of the year. We have extra, we sent them more.
But this is all an approximation, because let's say he says he makes 90 doughs a day, and really, he makes 100.
So we round off enough. We always add more. So we're not close. We're not close. They have a general idea, so we don't go to the exact number. We just have to have a figure to work with to know more or less what to do. But we're not being exact. We're definitely rounding off to the higher numbers. Besides that, we always want extra, because there's few months of the year. Which is bringing into another Shiloh. We always need extra. But it's a few months of the year, starting, let's say, about now. From now till we have a cheshbon about the end of October, the bakers are using flour from last year and from this year, from the new and from the old. And then halacha, you have to have minachodish al yoshan, or minyash al chodish, you cannot be mafresh. So we have to have two sets of boxes in the bakeries at all time to have for those couple months to make sure that if the dough is from the old flour or from the new flour, it's going to be minachodish. It will not be minachodish al yoshan, yoshan al chodish, or the chodish al chodish and yoshan al yoshan. Chodish not meaning iser chodish, chodish meaning from the new flour.
So really,
no.
Theoretically, you are seeing these months should be saying the nusach of komin amino.
No, we say one second, we're going to get to that. We do say that. At these months, when you have the two sets, then we have to say, we have to add to the Nusach, and it should be written here also, each year on its own year. That's exactly what's part of the Nusach, is on those few months, you have to say it. Now comes the major Shiloh.
How do you get those
matzahs? Major Shiloh, pardon me, what?
How do you get those matzahs, the new matzahs for the new...
We're baking them now.
But you didn't get them yet.
No, we didn't get them yet.
The companies didn't get them yet, but they're making flour already.
Oh, so that's a good question. What do we do? What about, let's say, the same way Manischewitz is already using the new flour this year to bake these Tevel Matzahs, the same time they make the Tevel Matzahs with the new flour, how do we know that our companies are not using flour, the new flour already? The new flour was already harvested. How do we know that they didn't get the new flour yet? Well, it's obvious they don't get it the first day, but it takes time. There's a lag period here. So the answer is, this is a major question that we have. And the only thing we have then is that Rabbi Belsky has a Gevaldik Alumdis and Halacha. And if you see it inside, the way he explains it, it's a beautiful piece to show that B'di'evit you can do it, that Chalas Chutzlarts Menachodesh Ali Yoshim will be okay B'di'evit. That's the only Eitzah that we have over here. That's the only Eitzah we have. That in the Maisa, if you look at the way he said over the Shtikot Torah, it's a beautiful Shtikot Torah. He has Lamech Adiyak in the Halach, in the Paiskim, in the Halach, to show that you could do it B'di'evit. But the Maisa is a sore spot over here. There is a question mark, but he holds that B'di'evit, it will still be okay.
That means it's not fresh like the Eidah Chatzilah now.
Should ask you to replace it, I guess. So that's one issue that we have. What do you do min acharish aliyash? It's another issue. Somebody brought up already. What about min al shein aminai? Matzahs are wheat flour. What do you do if you have rye breads? You have a baker that makes rye breads. What do you do for them? So that what we do is as follows. This system will not help for that. The tevel matzahs won't help for that. Because min al shein aminai you cannot do. But what we could do, what we do do is that those bakeries that are baking other types of flours, other types of breads, then we do, like I said before, that we ask, we tell the company to make their own. We tell the company to bake a bread that we know for sure we're not taking challah from it, and then that will be a tevel rye bread, let's say, and then we will put that tevel rye bread, we will say that that's, you know, the same, exact same nus we're saying now on there, we'll do with a tevel rye bread. But then it comes the problem, like I said, that rye bread is not going to last. According to the other paiskim, this one of the other Hashgach agencies, so what they do, they put it in the fridge. Their paisik says that the fridge has been a mukim, so they have no problem. Either they have the dough, the rye dough, or the rye bread, and it stays in the freezer for I don't know how long, so they have no problem with it. What we try to do is, we do something else, and we do is we try to tell them to make, instead of a regular rye bread, make something like a pretzel out of the rye bread. So that's going to last much longer. Then it becomes almost like a matzah. So it will not become spoiled that fast at the end of the time. It'll have a shelf life, a much longer shelf life. Let's talk, we're not talking about yet.
But you could
say, the regular say the matzah, or you have to have a special rug. What I'm saying is the
taken bread
to be taken off from, say, sponge cake, it would be different from...
That we have no problem with. Because we don't care, sponge cake, as long as sponge cake is wheat flour, we have no problem with that. Because then the matzah will take care of that. The only problem is I had a bakery, they don't exist anymore. I had a bakery that was making oat cookies. A Yiddish owned bakery was making oat cookies. Muffins, I think they were. There was oat muffins. So we had them make cookies or muffins that then when they were, every once in a while the Mashgiach would come, and when he would come, he would make sure that they made a run, and he would put away aside, he'd take it, put aside, and then that would be used for that.
It would have to be the first run.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, he can work it out. That's not a big issue. When he's there, if he's off and on, it's no big deal. If he's off and on, he can take care of it.
So, if you made him a mirror before.
There was no mirror, though, because he's not, our mirror for the Tevelmatz is not helping for that anyhow. Because that's oats. We made on wheat, that's on oats. The mirror was worthless. So you're right. That day, he couldn't make it a mirror, right? For whatever he had sitting there till now, right. So asking for something which was never chal in a mirror, correct. Yes. No, you're right.
So
you're right.
Has to go off in the lab.
Right, exactly. Nothing's going to happen. Before it spoils, he has to be there again before it spoils to be able to make sure that he does it.
What do you do if he comes and sees it spoiled?
I don't think you have a problem. You're right. Well, you can't. I think I'll tell Schutzler. It's something you can do later on for. You can do later on for before. You can do the mafreya. So it could work. Now, but and you'll see also the Snusach and Z32 we put in there, someone who has such a bakery says for each min on its own min. Then when we mafresh this challah with this system, we are going for one min on the other min, that the wheat on the wheat and the oats on the oats. Now, we had a shiloh like this. The shiloh was, what if you have, this was that company that I had with this oat, I think they had. But it was not pure oats. It was oats and wheat together. Now, how do you do that? So, now 1 second. What was the problem? If you have oats and wheat together, so the easiest thing to be would be take like from the thing on itself. So, let's say you make. I think the easiest thing would be that if you're being mafresh keseder from one product not on the other product, then it's always going to have the same percentages. You can have the same wheat and oats. So you'll be able to still go one on the other. But why wasn't that working? We had a reason why that was not going to work. So if the Mashgiach would have been there b'shas ma'aseh, that's no big deal. So he would have just taken out from the dough, be mafresh challah, you have no problem. Take the dough, be mafresh challah, whatever it is. That's what you bring mafresh on, whatever min and the other min. But if the Mashgiach is not there, we had a problem with that. Right, why couldn't we just take the same product and put it to the side and use that? Unless maybe we were afraid, who says the 1/5 gram would have it? I forgot already what the problem was. Why couldn't that work if we have this muffin, which is a mixture, and we have it on the side? Why can't we say now that 1/5 a gram or 1 gram of that mixture, of that muffin with the mixture, should be not chal on the other one? I forgot why that didn't work. I don't remember what the story was. But again, Rabbi Belsky came up with the lomdis to prove that you go basarayv. That in such a case, you go basarayv, and whatever the rayv of the whatever the rayv is, you go. See, if it's rayv wheat, you have no problem. You go back to tevel matzis. He sent his son into Chaim Kanievsky to give him his deacon and the machaber, and he didn't know. He was not ready to say anything. But that is an issue that, that we could have. What do you do in such a case when you don't have, when it's two different flowers mixed up? What do you do in such a case? But I'm trying to remember why we can't say. I don't remember why. What the problem is that you take that thing itself. Let's say a rye bread. I think is also a mixture, if I'm not mistaken. So if you have that, if you have the rye bread, why can't you just take a rye bread and whatever the rye bread is, you say a shtickle of rye bread, you go on there and then you have it. So I don't know exactly what the problem is.
So I don't know
why. I don't remember why. Why that wasn't the point. The same way if the mashgiach would be there, he would just take out a piece from the dough. Like we do with Renan and Nichala, why couldn't do the same thing here? I don't remember.
Isn't it finished in the Mechaber if you mix the flowers, it's in Mitzaref, but
that's Mitzaref to the Chiyav, and that's Gufa what his Diyak was, and that in the Mechaber there, how are you going to work it with this? For the Chiyav, it's Mitzaref, certain flowers. The Chamisha Minim, certain flowers are Mitzaref, right. But now what about Lagabi, what kind of a din does it got Lagabi Afrosha that does not say Mefurish? How to be Mafrish does not say Mefurish. I guess that you don't have a big deal because the flowers right in front of you, take right. Your bimafrit, right. You're finished, you have no problem. That's why Kinsan Mechaber doesn't have to handle that child.
This system is also like a pizza store.
Yeah, sure, the same thing. You could do the same thing in a pizza store. A pizza store has a little myla. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, I don't know, pizza used to have the same problem. Who's going to be there to take care? Right, pizza store would have the same problem, exactly. Any problems a bakery has, a pizza store would have the same, unless you say they make the doughs as they're doing it. But again, say if the frumid is the baker or the mixer, then you'll say, okay, he'll make sure he'll take it off, but if he's not, I don't know what we would do. But I'm saying, again, you have the problem, how many pizza stores is the frumid, the one who's mixing the dough? I wouldn't think there's too many.
Pizza stores even buy prepared mixed doughs.
A lot
of the pizza stores, they get pre-made.
That's also true. Just in a factory that does that. Just in a factory that makes these doughs. That makes doughs for them. So then again, so the Bashir nobody did it. Okay, but you have to know. So you have to know if there's a Chiyav then. If it's Jewish or if it's not Jewish, and there's never a Chiyav Chal on it, then it depends who they're buying it from. So that's a bad issue. Comes another issue over here. Two more issues. First, the one issue is. What do you do with the challah? What do you do with these tevel matzahs at the end of the year? We know in a private home, what you do is you burn the challah and finish. What do you do with tevel matzahs? Especially today, that you have a problem that used to be that all factories had incinerators. That furniture, you threw it into the fire and you burnt it, there was no problem. Today, with the environmental laws, you can't do that. That's in almost all places, that's illegal.
But to burn
matzahs. To burn matzahs, right. See if you want to make a little thing, a little bonfire someplace, nobody's going to see you, they won't know the difference, but it takes a long time. One Grossman was doing it in one place. He was doing it, he said he has pictures of it, standing there burning the matzahs, but it takes a long time. It's not an easy thing to do. It's only had one box he had to do, but if you have more, it's a major thing.
As far as the bakery goes, there's no reason why you can't put it in his oven. If you're talking about a company...
Small bakery is no problem. Small bakery, why can't you just put it into the oven? Because I guess it's also. Exactly. If it's like a matzah bakery with these wood ovens, big deal, just throw it in there. It's no big deal. What they do with the lulavim and all this kind of stuff. But in a regular bakery with these gas ovens, you have to know how it works. I don't know how that works. And the large ones, for sure, you can't do it. The large bakeries, whatever kind of ovens, they have the tunnel ovens or so on, you definitely cannot put it in there. There's no fire. But it's a problem. So what we came was, they never made an official policy, but it seems like when they do the thing like doing Eretz Yisrael, with the Trumas Maises in Eretz Yisrael, you can just wrap it up and throw it out. The problem was that Rabbi Belsky came up with an idea. Rabbi Belsky, he had a problem because he read an article someplace. Someone told him that they found in a garbage dump, 20 years later, they found that was on the bottom of a garbage dump, there were franks that were still edible. Because it came out that each level was sealing the level below it and keeping it intact. Mm-hmm. So Malin's afraid. The reason why you have to burn it is because of a michshol. Maybe somebody's going to find it and eat it. They don't know what tevel matzah is. If you tell me the garbage dump, 20 years later, you can still eat the frank. So maybe there's going to be a michshol someday. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it. So, Rabbi Shechter, that's it. Sometimes too much knowledge is no good at all. But it's okay. It's a problem. I don't know. So, Porsche, that's the thing. You look, see, Chazanish and this, and they just show that's the Eitzah. That's what you do. That they put it away. They bury it. They throw it out. Whatever they do with it, so whatever they do there, that's what you can do here. The same thing. So I said, Stakolas, I told them what they should do is also crumble it up. Make sure it's crumbled up in this. It'll also be a Lakshai love of Mikshal over here. But partially that's the Eitzah that you have to do for it. Because you have a bunch of boxes of matzah, it's very hard to do anything else. Now, there's another issue that comes up that somebody mentioned before, for its Zaitik reason, Bula Saraka. Bula Saraka is a big machlokes in the Paistim, what to do. At home, you never have this problem, because on a cake dough, you'll never have the shir challah. If you bake challah, so you will get a shir challah, with a bracha, without a bracha, different shurim to have, which God has all listed over here on all the different sheetahs over here. But that's...
When you say blue rasha, what kind of doughs?
Blue rasha, sponge cake. These cakes, most cakes. Cakes, yeah. If you have something like a yeast dough, that'd be lasa ava. The roll cakes, the rogalach, these type of things, that's a bilas ava, that's the same chiv, like breads and the challahs, no difference. It's the same thing. Mashain cake, if you have on cake doughs, that becomes a big issue. And it's that the paiskim, it's machlekes a paiskim, poshin halacha, we hold to mechaber, that there is a chiv. There is a chiyuv challah and bilas saraka.
Who argues
on the Muhammad or Ramah? No, there's the machlokes the Rashi, but it's a big machlokes Yishayim. What to do bilas saraka? It's a bilas saraka though. At the time of the blila, there's no chiyuv, because while the saraka that's off the Mishnah, there is no chiyuv challah. The problem is because later on you're baking it, that's when you get the chiyuv challah. So yes, we have though in the nusach you'll see here. It says that by rock it has to be a little different. You see, it says over here in the Nusach, one for the gram of that matzah you find should become chal on behalf of those leashes where it should be lasa ava at the time when that leisha takes place. Because the leisha itself is what's machayiv. The leisha is the machayiv, the chala. So therefore we say that at the time of the leisha, all right, after the leisha, that's when the challah should be chal. But then, on behalf of items baked from bilas araka, when the baking is completed. Because there's never a chiyuv challah. By the leisha, there's not a chiyuv challah bilas araka. It's only because later on, you use it like a bilas araka by baking it instead of frying it, making pancakes or so, it's from it. So the eitz is on that. So then you have to say that this is chal, this challah should be chal after the baking when the chiyuv challah comes for bilas araka. As I said, at home you never have these issues, but you do have it on bakeries that you do have, but they make such large doughs. Could be there are others that are saimech that with the sheet is that hold that there is no chivam b'lasaraka, but in Pasha we do this because it seems Pasha Nalocha that there is a chivam b'lasaraka when you do have the shear of the doughs.
Why don't you put a box of mats in the bakery when you finish the baking? It should be
another. Excuse me, what? What's going to be Bilas Araka,
yeah,
you're saying?
Bilas
Araka, if a place that's doing Bilas Araka, you should have to put it in the baking room. Okay, good.
It's too separate.
No, but it's in the oven when it's
not,
when it's being baked.
Yes, so when it comes out. It means you'll never have a minimukah. Yeah. Never a minimukah. Right here. I don't know.
Put it next to the ovens.
And what we do is here, besides the regular, just want to say, one thing, besides, what we do in some bakeries also, and let's say Hamish and Bakery, you have a few Hamish and Bakeries, what we also do is that because there is this problem, what's going to be there, and even though they say they know, or they say there are people that are always taking challah, and some bakers, what they do is they do take our system, and we put our matzahs in there anyhow, and then in case they will not do it, then as a backup, then our system should be this. In case the Mashgiach forgot one, you had to go out, the Mashgiach forgot, whatever it is, they always have our backup system, they'll be able to do that. Well, that's such a case, for sure you're not going to make a bracha. If that's the only bakery, then for sure you're not going to make a bracha, because you never know if you're doing it or not. That's for sure you're not going to make a bracha over there.
No, but the Mashgiach over there, when he does take out,
No, because he's doing it. When he's doing it, he's a chesachiyim. It's only if he forgets, then it's chal by us. If he doesn't forget, then he does it. We're saying that. No, when we say the nusach, we say in case they don't do it. It's only in case they don't do it that we're doing ours. No, we're always a backup, and we have to do it like that because we don't send enough matzahs for them. Moshe, we have the cheshbon, we said to make a cheshbon how many doughs you're going to make a year, but for such a bakery we don't do that because we're just saying how often they're going to forget. So we send enough that al kol tzarich leitavai, that there's going to be enough over there.
This number of sheet is not in challah. The two things that you're makbid not to mix, even the cinnamon buns and rugelof are not mitzvah for a shear, and you couldn't be makbid from one or the other. So that's going to be a problem with the matzahs, no?
This is Rav Shachter. You'll ask that question.
Thank you, Rav Grossman. Maybe you're tiny because you're never going
to
mix them. I mean, you're in mock, but not to mix these dough. One second, but when you made the dough, what's the problem? The tchal after, forget the lesser raka. You might have a problem with lesser raka, even there. But if it's be lesser ava, so now you made the dough. You made the dough for ugla, you made it for sin, whatever. But you're saying, but you're not going to sign for tachala, you mean?
White bread and challah.
I mean, it's not going to mix. I mean, our matzah is not going to be, because you're not going to want to be with star of our matzah to that. Right here? Mentioned there'll be a pictures of you burning matzahs, trying to burn table matzahs.
Where are the pictures?
Yeah, I have it. I think you have it by the window. By Baldwin's over there. Remember the face? You took a picture. You took a picture. Out of your picture, you got Rabbi Grossman. Yeah. Okay.
Any questions?
Just a flash. You said certain bakeries, I missed what was
yeah.
They don't send enough matzah.
No, he said certain bakeries, what we do is, let's say they have
backup.
They always know there's a from a person there. So they're assignment, but they're always taking challah. But mistakes could happen. So in order to make sure if a mistake happens, there won't be any michshol, so they have a box of matzahs there, and when we say that in case they forget to take, then we're taking challah should go from this matzah onto here.
And also, the tevel
it's also. You can't eat, you're not allowed to eat tevel matzahs, you're not allowed to eat tevel matzahs also. You're not allowed to eat tevel matzahs.
Oh, yeah, Rav Rocco.